Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? We are getting ready for the Sharks to take on the Jets this afternoon. Pre-game 4:30. Go time 5 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network as they wrap up this road trip before coming home on Sunday to take on Colorado. I spoke with the voice of the Jets, Paul Edmonds, a little bit earlier today to get a taste of what things are like in Winnipeg. All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Paul Edmonds, the voice of the Jets, who the Sharks are taking on this afternoon or this evening in Paul's time zone. Paul, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good. I mean, the Jets had four nights off between games, so they're looking forward to getting back at her tonight, and this will kick off a pretty busy schedule for them. They close out the month of October with 7 games in 14 days starting tonight against the Sharks. And then next 3.5 weeks are going to be real busy. They play every second night for the next 3.5. So a lot of games coming up after a four-day break, which is unheard of in October.
Right. And before we get to the obvious successful results to start the season, give me the 30,000-foot view on the franchise entering the year.
Well, it was interesting because the people that are really hockey knowledgeable, that know the inner workings, not just your average fan, felt that this was a competitive team. You don't go from 52 wins and 110 points and then just have this fall off the cliff moment because you lost Brendan Dillon and and you know, Tyler Toffoli and Sean Monahan, guys that, well, one of them was here for the last couple of years. The other two guys were brought in at deadline deals. And so from that standpoint, the foundation was always here. A lot of the fan base, though, around this market and abroad, I think, were a little bit concerned that the team didn't go out and make a big splash in the offseason with a trade or a high-priced free agent. But what they have here is a real good group of six or seven guys that have played together for the last 7, maybe 6.5 years, if you want to expand that number. And they know what it takes to win, to compete, to be in the smallest market in the National Hockey League. So for a lot of people, not surprising to see the Jets off to a 3-0 start, especially the way they started against Edmonton, beating them 6-0 on the season opener. But for a lot of people, I think abroad and to some in this market, they're kind of still waiting to see what this team can do. But again, Ted, as I mentioned, you just don't kind of have it unfold on you in a negative way after a 52-win season if you kind of kept the band together, if you know what I mean.
What is life like after Rick Bowness?
Pretty consistent, pretty congruent, because Scott Arneal's now in his second head coaching stint. Of course, he 13 years ago was with the Columbus Blue Jackets. It didn't go well for him. He admits that. But at the same time, when Rick Bowness came in, he brought Scott Arneal in as his associate coach. And Scott's had his fingerprints all over this thing for the last 2+ years. So while he is new in name, he's been around, and his structures, his way of playing have been introduced to this team and this group for the last couple of years. So there's not a whole lot of introductory on how we want to play. This is nothing new. So it's been pretty seamless from Rick Bowness to Scott Arneal. And let's face it, I mean, Scott was pretty good in the interim for the last couple of years when Rick had long COVID and when his wife Judy had some health issues. You know, Arnie was 15-7-3 as the interim head coach. So I would tell you that at first squint here, the Winnipeg Jets haven't missed a beat.
In terms of what we've seen through the first three games, what has maybe surprised you, or maybe there isn't that much surprise that you've started off 3-0?
I'm not surprised. They said that they wanted to play faster and they wanted to adjust a couple of things in the specialty teams area. And they've been faster. They've been more competitive in terms of being more aggressive on pucks. And that's translated over into the specialty teams. This was one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the National Hockey League last year. The falling off point for them, though, was on the penalty kill and the power play. They gave up too much in the penalty kill and didn't get enough on the power play. So they brought in Davis Payne, an assistant coach who's new this year to look after the power play, Dean Chenault to look after the penalty kill, and both have kind of got together with their new structures. And they've been able to implement some things as training camp, the exhibition schedule, and now through three games has gone along. And what it is, it's more rotation, quicker puck movement on the power play, and more aggressive on the penalty kills. So those are the things that we've been watching that haven't surprised us, but we're watching to see the improvements, certainly in those areas. And so far, so good, as I mentioned, through three games.
Has Connor Hellebuyck looked exactly as you'd expected? Just from the highlights I've seen, it kind of seems like he's picking up where he left off.
Yeah, he has, Ted. And this is interesting because it's Connor Hellebuyck night here tonight.
Yes, 500th start?
They're going to honor him for him winning a Vezina trophy for the second time over his career, but also the Jennings trophy, which is a team award. So they have the two trophies in the building tonight, and fans can get their picture taken with the Vezina and or both the Jennings trophy as well. And they're just going to honor Connor for his service here. When you look at what he's done, 508 games, he wants to get to 1,000, 278 wins. The mile marker there is 300 wins, so he's not that far off. Mm-hmm. 50 shutouts is the other one for a goaltender. He's got 38. So he's approaching these numbers that are really kind of mile markers for goaltenders in the National Hockey League. Of course, what he's talked about is the last box that he really wants to check is to win a Stanley Cup, because he's been the subject of a number of awards over the course mm-hmm. of his career, all-star honors, Vezina trophies, Jennings, that kind of thing. But what has eluded him and what he wants the most with a newly minted 7-year contract that started this year is a Stanley Cup. And he's going to have some time within this organization to try to help this team and this city and province get there.
I mean, I look at this team and saw what they did last year, and I think one of the things that really struck me the most was a stat where it was double-digit players with at least 30 points. Now, I know a couple of those players are no longer there, like a Tyler Toffoli, who's here in San Jose. But that type of balance, that tells me that this team has the potential to make a deep run and be a Stanley Cup contender. And, you know, a lot of teams don't like those things kind of bandied about because that's more of a, I don't know, an Edmonton thing right now, or maybe where a team like Vegas thought there were a couple of years ago where it's cup or bust. But is there the thought that this team does have a legitimate chance to be there as the lone team standing when all is said and done?
Well, I think they kind of consider themselves to be in that mix and certainly in the conversation. I think where the shadow of doubt is cast on this team, maybe by themselves as well, is not what they've done in the last two regular seasons, but what they haven't done in the first round of the playoffs. They've been a first round casualty in five games in both the last 2 years, last year to Colorado, the year before that to Vegas. So from that standpoint, there's another level this team needs to get to, particularly though, at the end of April and into May and then beyond that. But I think if they can get over that, and they did once before in 17-18 with the nucleus of this team, back then, still around to this day, and getting to the Western Conference Final, I think that they do believe that all the pieces, Ted, are here for all of that to happen. But, there's a long way to go. We're talking about 70-plus games still to go. I think Nito Niederreiter put it best. He says it doesn't matter what you do at the start, it's how you end up finishing. And I think that's kind of the attitude, the mantra that this team has to a player within the dressing room. This is great. We want to win as many as we can. We want to play a certain way. We want to have all four lines be consistent and look the same. And they're a deep team from that standpoint. They have four solid lines and three sets of D, but there's still something to prove beyond the regular season for them, especially this year with what's gone on the last 2 years in the first round.
Tell me your thoughts on losing Tyler Toffoli, because the guy just screams character. I mean, he got here to San Jose, was immediately involved in community activity, just seems like a stand-up person from all ends of the ice. And, I had limited experience watching him as the opposition, but I knew that people like Darrell Evans would rave about him. And, he settled right in, 4 points in four games. And just, everything about this guy just screams Mr. Consistency.
Well, he was brought in for a reason. I mean, the reason is because of all of the the assets that you mentioned and the accolades that he has. And he's a guy that seems to have everybody kind of gravitate to him. That's what I noticed about him last year in the short period of time that he was here, that guys just genuinely like him. And of course, he's got all that resume behind him. And then it's going to help the young guys with the San Jose Sharks, of course, the Celebrinis and certainly the Smiths. That goes a long way in helping those guys understand how to be good NHLers from solid veterans that have some cups and that have won and have put up 30 goal seasons multiple times. And he's off to a great start. 3 goals and 4 points, as you mentioned. So you know, the Jets will be kind of keen in on him here tonight. But he was a wonderful Jet for his brief time that he was here last year, helped them during the regular season. And then certainly, of course, he was just part of what the Jets weren't able to do in the playoffs last year. And then they just decided to move on. And so did he. And he finds a great landing zone, certainly for a lengthy contract in the Bay Area.
Are people talking about the need for health for Gabe Vilardi, or is that just something people are saying, hey, he's healthy now, let him go, let's see where it ends up?
Well, he's talked about that. I mean, and this is the funny thing. He hasn't come out and declared, oh, I want to play all 82 for the first time in my career. He denounced that he wanted to say, well, maybe I could get to 60 games this year and play all of those. I mean, he's just so snake bitten with injuries that he's kind of got this little bit of a twitch knowing, okay, when's it going to fall? Like, when am I going to have this freak kind of accident happen to me? The Jets hope that that doesn't happen because with the way that top line is going, and I know Vilardi hasn't scored a goal and has really only got one assist so far, and Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele are carrying the load on that line, there is something to be said about a guy that can dig the puck off the wall and free it up for those guys, even though that sometimes that doesn't translate onto the score sheet as a secondary or primary assist. But he's been valuable to that top line, and I think the points are going to come. I think for Winnipeg, a lot of things will happen. They've got to stay healthy. Every team that has any success during the regular season and certainly into the playoffs are deep teams that haven't run into a host of injuries. The Jets hope that Gabriel Vilardi stays healthy this year, and he does as well because there's a symbiotic relationship. He helps himself. He helps the team. The team benefits from what he does, but also his contract expires at the end of this season, and he would love to have a big year and parlay that into something going forward with the Jets, maybe long-term for a lot more money because, of, as I've always said, in the National Hockey League, points mean pennies.
Oh, very well said. And I also think there's something about his game. Like you said, it's not reflected in the stat line all the time, but he's 6'3", 220 pounds, and he plays a big game. And like you said, you know, the health, I believe his career high in points is right around 40, but that was when he had his career high in games back in 2022, I think, with LA. But to me, that's the body that when you are deep into the season and in the postseason, where it's he's the guy who's a difference maker.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And when you look at the Winnipeg Jets and the makeup of this team, you know, there's not a guy that's under 6 feet on that top line. You've got Vilardi at 6'3", Scheifele at 6'3", Kyle Connor probably 6'1.5 to 6'2". You know, then you can throw out the Lowry line that is just as big as well. I mean, you've got two guys that are 6'2", and Lowry at 6'5", and a real good speedy checking line. So, you know, from that standpoint, they can throw waves at you, whether they're wearing a white or a blue jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard when the Jets get moving. It's hard to stop them going downhill. And Gabe Vilardi is so good in a couple of different areas. The things that we've seen here over the years have been his ability on the goal line on the power play to really be another option on the power play. And I talked about the power play having to improve this year, but also his ability to get on the puck and win puck battles. And then not only get the puck and win a puck battle, but make a play with the puck after he's won that 50-50 puck battle or a scrum in the corner. So, you know, when you can do that and free it up for guys like a sniper like Kyle Connor or a goal scorer and distributor like Mark Scheifele, one of the best in the league, then, of course, I think you're on to something. And I understand that Gabe Vilardi loves playing on that line here. Mm-hmm. And, boy, if he can get some points and stay healthy, I think it might be a trio that we could see for a number of years going forward after his contract expires this year or if they get to an extension before the season is out.
Were you surprised that it didn't work out with Kaapo Kähkönen?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I know they wanted to get some depth, and they brought Erik Komrie back in and Kaapo Kähkönen. And so there was a battle for the first time ever in my time around here. This is 11 years full-time and two more kind of part-time before that when the team was around and came back via relocation. But I'd never seen a goaltender battle for the backup job for the depth that we've talked about with this organization. And frankly, I just kind of felt that Erik Komrie outplayed Kaapo Kähkönen. And from that standpoint, you've also had some history with Erik Komrie with this organization. The goaltending coach really likes him. He likes the goaltending coach. Majority of the players have played with him. They really like him. So there was a really easy fit for Erik Komrie. So he already had sort of that notch to get him the inside track. But I also feel, Ted, that he outplayed Kaapo in the time that they had during practice, inter-squad games, and then during the preseason and the exhibition schedule. So it wasn't surprising to me that Kaapo Kähkönen was the guy that was going to go down. Had he cleared waivers? I guess what surprises me is that he didn't clear waivers and he got picked up by Colorado.
What's your perspective of the Sharks from Winnipeg? Because I know that, you know, the Sharks are on the West Coast. They're a long ways away. The narrative has been, you know, they were good for a long time, but they've been doing this tear down and rebuild. But I don't know how much of that messaging makes it to you and to people who aren't, you know, in California and paying attention to California hockey.
Oh, it's not lost here for sure. And I'm really glad that they've decided that, you know, the fan base and the ownership have collectively said, okay, here's the message from the ownership group. We're going to tear this down. We're going to have a rebuild. Are you with us? The fan base is, yeah, it's time for that. Okay, this will be exciting. You get a couple of great draft picks in Celebrini and Smith. Already that kind of creates some excitement around your market. You're going to mix those guys with some veteran guys to remain competitive, but also have those guys learn from that standpoint. So, you know, it's not just, of course, Smith and Celebrini. You're looking at other guys that have been on the roster for a few years, and Eklund, you know, and Zetterlund. You get a Wennberg back in here this year as well. I'm kind of excited about what is the future for the San Jose Sharks, and I can guarantee you this: the Winnipeg Jets are not taking this team lightly, despite the fact that they only have 2 points and haven't registered a win in the four starts. If you recall, San Jose and Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, turned aside 36 of 37 in a game where they beat the Jets 2-1 last year, ended up losing two other one-goal games to the Jets. So in the season series last year, despite the fact that it was 2-1 for Winnipeg, the goal differential was +1 for Winnipeg and only -1 for San Jose. So the Jets expect a tight contest once again from the Sharks tonight, because that's all they've seen going back to last year when it came to the three games in the season series.
Well, Paul, I appreciate your time as always. Have a great call tonight, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Ted, my pleasure. Anytime. You've got my number.
Again, that was Paul Edmunds, the voice of the Jets, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Earlier today, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsawski, spoke with the media, giving us an update on some players that will be out from tonight's game.
Yeah, Smitty, Will Smith will be out. And Eki is going to be out as well with an upper body injury.
When asked if this was an injury to Will Smith, Ryan Warsawski said this was not the case.
No, it's part of the plan. Nothing to do with performance, just part of the plan. And he'll be out tonight.
And Warzo was also asked about his message to the team this morning after last night's loss in Chicago.
Just that we need to be more connected. We got to be more competitive. We got to be engaged from the start of the game. I just thought we were chasing the game early, from probably the second shift on, and then the penalties don't help. So we got to get back to our identity as a hockey team, understanding what that identity is, and being more consistent with it.
All right, that wraps it up on my end. I will see you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Granlund on the right wing side, holding the puck, spinning away there from Taylor Hall, moving into the slot. But Hall reaches in and applies that stick check, but Granlund got it back. He pokes it over to Eklund. Eklund's got a man in front to Foley. Gets it to him. Where is it? Yeah. Oh, baby, he scored. Tyler Toffoli in front of the net. What a job defensively by the San Jose Sharks to get it back. And Toffoli gets the Sharks on the board.